Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day. It's a spring day. It's the season of Passover. It is Easter time. It is Resurrection Sunday for believers around the world. So happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday to you and to everyone else. I'm coming to you this morning from Point Lookout Community Church in our coffee lounge. And on a typical Sunday, around this time, you would see people having some coffee cake or some snacks and maybe sipping some of Eric's gourmet coffee, but not today. Today's not a typical day, as you can imagine. And it made me think, I just wonder if this is the first Resurrection Sunday in 88 years that this church building hasn't seen worshipers coming on Resurrection Day to worship and to celebrate. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Think about that. Year in, decade out, for 88 years, people coming on Resurrection Day to celebrate and to worship. And yet today it's eerily quiet in here as I'm by myself, and it's nothing typical at all. And it got me to thinking about this reality, that all of us on some level, in some way, are experiencing loss, are experiencing a sense of loss. And we've each, think about this, on the whole planet, everyone has been affected in some way by the current crisis that we're all facing. Everyone's life has been changed in some way, shape, or form by this. And some people have experienced loss in different ways from others, but each of you may have experienced loss of income or a loss of a job, loss of a business. Some of us, maybe the loss of a loved one or a coworker. And then there are the news reports, day in and day out, moment by moment, reminding us of the loss that we're experiencing and just how much has been taken from us during this time. Loss of mobility, loss of liberty to go about and move freely. And so loss of health, just in many different ways we've all experienced it. And the thing about it is that each one of those losses, we're going to grieve the loss. We're going to experience the pain associated with it. It's not just being parted from it, but it's going through the process of actually dealing with it. We can't just pretend that everything's okay and that just wait for everything to get back to normal. I don't even really know what normal will look like after this. None of us do. We heard that from the book of James a couple of weeks ago. We don't know what our lives will be like tomorrow. But in the meantime, each of us have to grapple with and experience, go through this experience of loss. And last week we read from Psalm 105, and in it we saw that we have permission to be glad in the Lord. In fact, the psalmist says it's a command for believers, those of us who are following in the steps of Jesus Christ, it's a command to be glad in the Lord. So we have permission and a command there, but the scripture also teaches us, right here it says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. There's a time to give birth and a time to die. And among other things, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. So while we have permission and while we have plenty of cause to be glad and rejoice, that's what today is for many believers around the world, a day to celebrate resurrection, but it's also a day in which many people around those believers will be grieving loss. And it sounds conflicting, even though it's not, but the Bible tells us that we should be glad in the Lord and we should mourn with those who are mourning. We should weep with those who weep, Romans 12:15 said. So as believers, we've got to find a way to do both. We have to be able to do both of those things. I'd like to read this morning from the Apostle John's account of the resurrection for just a couple of minutes. And in it, we're going to read about some people and one person in particular who experienced and was grieving a loss. She had experienced a profound loss in her life, and we're going to see the way in which her grief affected her vision, her ability to see and to understand what was going on around her. We'll also see how Jesus sets the example for those who are not grieving to reach out in love to those who are. So let's read from John chapter 20, starting in verse 1, this account of the resurrection. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him." We start to see the loss that she's feeling there. And then in verse 10, it says, the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping, and whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. I pray that we gain understanding as we read this scripture today. In this account from John, we see that Mary's grieving a loss. Her friend, her teacher, her mentor, her rabbi has been falsely accused and sentenced to death. And if that wasn't enough loss for one weekend, she can't even grieve the loss because as she goes to the grave where he was buried, his body isn't there. So Mary is suffering this loss, and just as many of us today are experiencing and suffering loss on some level, maybe we can relate to Mary's despair in that. And now I want you to notice what grief can do to a person. We know that there are stages of grief, right? We've all been through this. We know there are things like denial and anger and depression and bargaining and all these stages that we go through before we process our grief and come out the other side to a place of acceptance or a place of hope. And Mary's grieving, and perhaps as some of us are grieving the loss that we face, we go through some of those stages. Any of you gone through these stages in the last 2 or 3 weeks? A little more anger, a little more depression than maybe you would otherwise experience? Such is the power of loss. Such is the power of grief in our lives to affect us as we process it. That's because you're grieving loss, and these are some of the things that it can cause. Or maybe you've seen other people who are in denial about how bad things are. That's what grief can do. It's a stage of grief to be in denial. So we see each other going through these things as we suffer the losses of the current crisis. And just a side note here, you know, we weren't designed to live this way. We weren't designed to be communicating almost exclusively through online means or video chats. Listen, they're great in a pinch. It's way better than not having this as an option. But this is not God's design for our lives. God's design was for us to be in relationship and in face-to-face interaction with one another. And I, for one, am looking forward to the day that we get back to some of that. Just a side note. So don't get too accustomed to this sort of thing, sleeping in on a Sunday and turn it on YouTube or anything, because soon enough we're going to be getting together here, I trust and pray in Jesus' name. But people are grieving right now. And in this scripture, Mary is grieving, and through some of these stages of grief, just like we face today. And in her grief, Mary begins to theorize or hypothesize about what's happened. I don't know if this is the bargaining stage, but she starts to kind of manufacture or suppose what she thinks happened. She says, "They have taken him away." They. I don't know who they are, but she thinks they have taken him away, the gardener or the soldier or somebody. And so she starts to theorize about what's happened as she tries to grapple with her grief. And I think sometimes we start to theorize about what's happening when we're grappling with our grief. Maybe that's the bargaining stage. She's thinking, if only they hadn't taken him away, or maybe we do the same thing. If only this hadn't happened, then maybe I wouldn't have come down with this virus. If only this person or that thing hadn't transpired. And we begin to grapple and process the grief of our loss. And this is what grief can do to us. If we're not careful, we can begin to theorize, as Mary did, about her circumstances, and then even begin to believe the theory instead of believing the reality that's right in front of us. Let me say that again. If we aren't careful, we can begin to theorize in the middle of our grief, as Mary did, and then begin to believe that our theory is really what's going on instead of the reality of what's going on in the world around us. This is what grief can do, and we've all witnessed it happening on some level. And so she says it again in verse 13, when they ask her why she's crying, she says, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. Again, her grief allowing her to believe something that's not at all true. No one's taken the body of Jesus and laid it anywhere, but she's convinced of it because of this grief that she's dealing with. And if Mary were alive today, she would probably post it on her favorite social media, only to have 1,000 of her closest friends correct her and tell her how wrong she was, that no one had taken Jesus anywhere, right or wrong, right? That's what's happening today. We'd all be rushing to cite the news story that would really tell us exactly what had happened to the body of Jesus. Meanwhile, we'd be doing that instead of mourning with those who mourn, which is what our call is in Scripture. Not necessarily to correct everyone's understanding or misunderstanding of reality, but to weep with those who weep. There's a time for everything, right? There's absolutely a time to help someone understand the reality of what's going on, but when someone's mourning, it's probably not the best time to try to correct them and straighten them out on everything, like so many of us are trying to do these days. Straighten everybody out with all the details. Tell them how it really is. And look what happens here in this scripture. How does Jesus respond to the woman who's mourning? He says in verse 15, "Why are you weeping, and whom are you seeking?" Instead of saying, "You're wrong, Mary, no one's taken the body of Jesus anywhere, you're making things up, you're believing things that aren't true," instead, he says, "Hey, sis, what's going on? What's got you down? What are you looking for? What are you after here? Why are you weeping? Why are you mourning?" Instead of correcting her theology or her understanding of reality, he calls her out by name and says, "What's the thing that's upsetting you?" And he takes the time to listen. What a lesson that is for me. What a lesson that is for those of us who are glad in the Lord, or those of us who are experiencing resurrection life today, to be willing in the middle of our gladness and our celebration to listen to someone who's in the middle of their grieving. Let them grieve the loss. Yeah, maybe even be mistaken about what's going on around them. Mary even doubles down on her assumptions and actually accuses Jesus of doing something he didn't do. She doesn't recognize Jesus because she's so preoccupied and obsessed with her loss. And in verse 15, she thinks he's the gardener and accuses him of taking her friend's body from the grave. Do we see the power of grief and loss to affect how we see the world around us? Do we see the power of grief and loss to blind us to the reality that's right in front of us? To even make us willing to make accusations against God and call him to answer us. Such is the deluding influence of unresolved grief in the soul of the hurting person. And what does Jesus do? Does he come down on her? Wrong again, some disciple you are, for accusing him of doing something he didn't do? No. He simply says, Mary. He calls her by name. He takes the time to listen in the middle of her grief. Though he's in the middle of resurrection, he takes time to hear her in the middle of her grief. And he calls to the grieving soul by name, just as I should, just as you should. And it's in that moment when he calls out to her that the blinders come off. That reality is now apparent to her. That she sees how mistaken she was, and she recognizes that the risen Christ is with her, not away from her in that moment. It was Jesus' listening ear and his personalized appeal that accomplished more, not only to comfort her, but to open her eyes to the reality that was right in front of her. And Mary exclaimed, Teacher, Lord, Jesus, you're with me. You're not away from me. You haven't left me alone. I've experienced loss, but here you are with me in the middle of my grief and my loss. And she could now see reality that she couldn't see before. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you are experiencing life or if you're experiencing loss. I don't know if you're somewhere in the middle experiencing a combination of those things. But my prayer is this, that as we all experience loss, that those of us who are also experiencing life in Christ would reach out with a listening ear and a personal appeal to those who are grieving at this time. And I pray that by God's grace, we could see grieving people comforted and awakened to the reality that Christ wants to be with them and is with them in the middle of their grief and in the middle of their loss. If you're glad today, if you're rejoicing and thankful for resurrection life, I pray that you would find grace for the grieving. I pray that you would, as Christ did, take time to listen, to call them by name. It doesn't matter if they're inconsolable. It doesn't matter if they're mistaken about a few things or in denial or misunderstanding. Our call and our example, the supreme example from Christ himself, is to reach out with resurrection life to those who are experiencing loss. And if you're grieving today, I pray that your eyes would be opened. I pray that you would see that Christ is with you in the middle of your grief. And I pray that you'd realize this. It was Mary, the one who was grieving, the one who was weeping, who was able to see Jesus face to face. The scripture says that God is near the brokenhearted. And it wasn't the disciples who ran to the tomb, but who quickly left. It was the one who stayed and who was mourning and who was weeping, who actually was the first to encounter the risen Christ face to face. And I pray that brings you some comfort today as you mourn whatever loss you're experiencing, or as you're glad with whatever life and resurrection power you're experiencing today. It was the one who was weeping and mourning and seeking who actually found or was found by Christ himself. And I pray that you would find him today in resurrection life and in the loss that you're experiencing. In Jesus' name, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. I pray he'd make his face to shine upon you. I pray he would be gracious to you and lift up his countenance on you and fill you with his peace in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for taking part in this today, and I hope to see you soon. God bless you all. Happy Easter. Happy resurrection.